First thing I was going to ask you, what encouraged you or who encouraged you to get interested in forestry and agriculture?
Well, I got interested in agriculture and agribusiness when I was in high school. And I had an agricultural class, an ag teacher, and I competed in a contest. And then I was involved in my college. Thank you.
days on until it inspires the man to sell the dangerous plan. The couple of several delays eliminate some competition to get away from supplies and demand remains strong for the price increase. And we also turn by our water balls into the well burns for the year. FFA chapter is back in the mid-80s. We checked 125 wells. Mind that wasn't in the well water. You know, the well system is still the old water system. You have to be very particular about what's put on the soil. The University of Alabama conducted the Rose project for the recycling oil. Like a lot of movements that have been practiced, which they've used on the market, just been trained off in ditch, which is intended for it. So we've been aware of, we've been made aware of ways that we can contaminate. And what we've been on, what I've seen happen since. The ag industry, the police itself, up on that if it's made aware of, because that person who lives on that farm has to drink that water. They're next to nature, they understand what's all about, they're not really aware just for money, but they're wrong going, you know, when they're dead and gone, they've got other things in there to take over. They want to weave it in better shape than that family.
You think the big farmers are more likely to pollute and things like that, since they're more likely not to live right on site, and they may just own it and live somewhere else.
Well, I say that it's a kind of dangerous situation, because we do have renters, people that do rent large tracts and they bring in equipment, and they're not really concerned, especially chemicals. They sometimes, because they do build away from the property, they put out excessive amounts of chemicals, both insecticides and herbicides, because they're afraid it will be bad to inspect the crops, and something might come up while they're gone and cause all kinds of damage. So they try to cover their bases and then put the extra dirt, glue, or waterways. We don't have as many people who throw out chemical containers. We used to have people who would keep the chemical containers, just leave them piled up, things of that nature. Now then, they're penalized. Environmental Protection Agency has penalized people for doing that, which is good, because it shouldn't be done. Most of the big chemical companies have gone to recyclables, so they can take back those containers and put a recycling bill. Thank you.
subject. Do you think that the way that a lot of forestry services plant pine trees now, do you think that's kind of like going to turn into the cotton with the pine beetle coming in? Do you think that it's a mistake to do things like that, just to plant a single cash crop?
Well, we have and have had made a problem with a certain pine beetle coming through and causing a lot of destruction. But here in the southeast, we're not really facing that problem. A lot of people don't understand most of the large timber companies who own tremendous acres in the northwest. They didn't close down because of conservation efforts, or because they had endangered species, and there's not about an owl population or woodpecker population. Both sides did not close down those large timber operations out there. What closed was the rain. They just simply couldn't afford to continue operating on a 30-year rotation in Washington and Oregon, and they could come to Alabama, Georgia, and Mississippi, Tennessee, and do a 15-year rotation and end up with the same money, so they turn the money over twice as fast. That word was never put out for the large interest of the plot. But right now, we're with best management plans. If you run a best management plan through, your bottom lands will remain planted in the hardwoods. Uplands will remain planted in some type of pine, simply because the pine will not live down, does not grow, it will live, it does not grow very fast in bottomlands. Hardwood does not grow very fast in uplands. And we have needs for both of those. We're shipping most of the chip products overseas, and taking most of it. They just simply recycle it. I've seen a lot of change in the way we've been, but I think you look at what the U.S. Forest Service is finally beginning to do, and you see it's really the same thing. We've operated more for a treasure forest in regards to raised timber now. We've got to push the aesthetic value out of it, put the resources out there, trying to protect our waterways and come through the wildlife. Not just for the money, but we try to sell people on the total picture, not just the dollar value. I don't see where we're going to run into a problem having just a single crop, because it seems like the person who drives down the interstate, there's only one crop there, but if you get off the interstate, you're almost in a small area. So if you get off and you drive down 200 yards off and say, walk through this, you'll find it in those low places. The hardwoods are well, the streams are still clean, things are like that. Where used to we wouldn't have them, we just almost would have cleaned it all out, went over the would not have worried about which way the skidder tracks went up down the hill or whatever. We did not worry about the gullies and the erosion taking place. Nowadays, we have to be concerned about that. We're not allowed to cross creeks except in a certain direction. And we can be penalized. You know, we're penalized for the air or some of the work they did. And a couple of logging operations. Across the creeks, or we could take both of the creeks, and then we would have timber tanks to get water, keep the soil moisture, and get good facilitation for the fish. So, I see some odds and changes, but like I said, we'll always hope we learn from our mistakes. That's how we'll